This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, December 25th, 2014, Christmas, the Feast of the Nativity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, by Father William Doc Holliday.
A son is given to us. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We get together for Christmas. There is so much to speak of theologically and ecclesiastically and all other kind of good stuff, but when you get a little bit more practical with everything tonight, the practicality kind of centers on what we see a whole lot, and I'm not bashing what I'm going to say. I hope you have this bumper stickers that we all see, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yep, that's great. Love it. You know, the more the merrier. But there was a reason that he came. There was a reason that Jesus Christ left heaven, okay? And that reason, I hope you leave here tonight, that reason is you. He came down here for us to be doing what we're doing right now, for the cause of our salvation. So if you really get down to brass tacks, it is about us. It's not particularly about Jesus, because let's start this out. Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God. He had always been God, okay? Always. He'd always been God. And then he became man. But he was eternally God. He lived in heaven, right? He took upon our frailty and weakness as God. Get your head around that one for a second. There was no reason for him. He was in heaven. He was God. It doesn't get much better than that. All right? And he came down here. He came down here then. You know, he didn't even come when there was air conditioning and comfortable stuff and fast food. All right? He came in a very bad time. He humbled himself. We hear that so much in church. Do you really think about it? I say, he's the second person of the Trinity. Okay? We actually have to, if you push people far enough, they finally come to an argument, and even pagans will say this occasionally. Well, I'm not God. That's what, you know, that's the end-all, be-all when I can't do anything about the problem. Well, he is God. Okay? Jesus Christ is God. He surpasses us. We have to understand the difference between God and us. But when you understand, and we're never going to get who God is on this side, but to understand that he became you, God became you. It really is something to fathom. He did it for a reason. He didn't gain one thing by it. I always point out to people, he is no less God or no more God if you come to church every day or if you never come. He's always God, okay? You're not doing him one favor for being here tonight. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We have to appreciate that. You're talking about God coming down and becoming you. God, who we read in the book of Job, at whose nod the pillars of heaven are shaken. Okay? That's who became a man. The one who the angels adore in heaven left that and came down here. There had to be a real good reason for that. And I submit to you again, that reason is you. That reason is everybody. That's why we should endeavor so to pass this on. See, that's the lesson. That is the lesson of Christmas. Again, yes, Jesus is the reason for the season because it is his nativity we celebrate, but he came down here for a deeper reason, and that was so you may live in eternity with him. And we come in here all the time and hear lessons about this and Jesus' lesson and this parable and that parable. He spoke volumes before he ever opened his lips and uttered a word in this world. Just by his birth,
If we look at his birth, again, let's think about who we're talking about, God Almighty, the one who spoke and everything leapt into existence out of nothing. Okay? Think of his birth. He was born in poverty, abject poverty. Okay? They had nothing. He was born a stranger under a roof that was not his own. You know, even the poorest of people, oh, those are real poor people. They live in that shack over there. That's their shack. He wasn't even born in his own shack. He was born in a manger. We just blessed the creche scene. You know, how many creches do you see during Christmas time? You know, some of it, they're so opulent. Oh, how beautiful is that manger scene? That's the most beautiful manger scene. What is a manger? I mean, that's a churchy word. King James, manger. Okay, stable. Say stable. Say barn. Okay? I point this out every Christmas, but it never tires because we look at look at the wise men. They're all dressed in gold, and Jesus got the little halo around his head and all that other neat Christmassy stuff. Okay? It was a place where animals lived. You ever go down to the petting zoo in Kissimmee? You ever been to a farm? Where animals live, animals leave stuff behind, and it stinks. That's where God Almighty was born. You know, when you start thinking of it in those terms, you're like, wow. He wasn't even born at a nice time of year. Oh, it's really poor and everything, and it stinks, but at least it's nice out. It's the depths of winter. It was like everything that could be bad, he surrounded himself with that. But we got to learn a lot from that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We heard it in the lessons and carols. We'll hear it again at the last gospel this morning. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The darkness comprehended it not. We don't get it unless you think about it. And you need to think about it because you are the reason that he did this stuff. Like I said, from heaven to a barn. Think about it. The reason for the season is you. And when you place all this stuff before your eyes and understand what Jesus did for you, I say when you do it. It's probably better worded if you do it. Because you are a person of free will. All people are people of free will. If you place these things before your eyes. How many people hear the Christmas story? How many people are watching, you know, whatever on TV, this Christmas story? How many people have lights all over their house? And you really think about it. All the lights. It's so opulent. It's so beautiful. It's just the opposite of what he did. None of it was beautiful. None of it. You got to think of it that way. Because if you place these things before your eyes, that he who was true and perfect God became like you. He got hungry. He got tired. He was sad. He cried. He got angry. It speaks not of his dignity. Went to another Christmas, I go to church, just every now and then, and I went and got bashed again, how bad I am. It's just the opposite. When you think about this, it's not a matter of beat yourself up because look what Jesus did for you. It's just the opposite. He speaks of your dignity. He speaks of how much the incarnation, how much he cares about you. That's what it speaks to. Not that you should be bashed, not that you are unworthy, although we are. It's not about that. It's about when he breathed breath into life of the first flesh he made in Adam and Eve, he made them in his own image. You are made in the image of God, and he will do absolutely everything he possibly can to bring you into heaven with him. Everything that he possibly can, including leaving heaven and being born in a stinky barn, that you may have the opportunity to live forever in all eternity. And not only the nativity, because what was the nativity for but the beginning of that? That's the way you have to kind of get your head around this whole thing. And think of it not about, oh, I am unworthy, but how worthy you are that God Almighty himself would endure that for. When we read that gospel today, a lot of people talk about the Bible. They say, well, the Bible doesn't say everything about everything. It's not really detailed. There's all kind of open in it. It says that Jesus Christ did so many things that all the bookshelves in the world couldn't hold them. We only know a little bit about what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit only tells us enough that we need for our salvation. That's what he tells us. But there's something that he says when we read that part, that little part about that there was no room for them in the inn. And he could read past that and go, yeah, okay, there's no room for them. No room at the inn. No room. It doesn't say there was no room at the inn. The Holy Spirit says there was no room for them at the inn. There was no room for him at the inn. That was when he was born in this world. He begs to be born spiritually every single day in your heart. So you got to step back and always do check, not just on Christmas, not just on Easter, but every single day, are you making room for them, him, in the inn of your heart? That's the question that is posed in this whole thing. Because we're here tonight celebrating the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ and his nativity. It is a glorious time. But you have to really think about the fact that to understand, and I mean understand by appreciate, what was encompassed in the conception and nativity, those are the objects of our firm faith. Those are the objects of our belief. It is absolutely necessary that they are the objects of your reverence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.